I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast are Adam Dale.
Good evening, y'all.
Darcy McKillop.
Evening, everyone.
And David Jort.
Hi, everybody. How are we doing?
Now, tonight, we're going to take a break from the frigid cold of February and talk about making the most of a summer vacation at Walt Disney World. But before we get to that discussion, I would like once again to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys. Their support really helps make this show happen each and every week. Next time you're planning a family vacation to a themed entertainment destination like Walt Disney World, Disneyland, enjoying a cruise on the Disney Cruise Line, or even those other folks at Universal, consider working with a Fairytale Journeys travel agent. They will work with you. They'll take that stress and the headaches of planning off of your shoulders. You tell them what you like, and they'll make it happen. That's really what it comes down to. Check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, gentlemen. You all, this is one of those times where being the host of the show has its perks. Because, you know, every once in a while, I get to leverage the show for my own purposes. And it just so happens that this year, for the first time ever, my family will be a summer Walt Disney World traveling family.
Is it the first time in forever?
It will feel
Let
like
it go,
the first
man.
Time in
Let
forever.
It go.
I'm certainly feeling frozen at the moment. But actually, the weather's been kind of nice for January. But that said, you know, we've been a family that's traveled to Walt Disney World in off-season times, in January, in September, in October. You know, that's been when we visited, and we've kind of learned that, you know, now that my daughter's in middle school, we're going to be traveling during school break times, and with the cruise coming up here in June with the Diz Dad's Dream Cruise, we're going to be taking a Walt Disney World vacation in the middle of summer. And I thought, you know what? I've never done that before, and I know I've got guys who have. So, gentlemen, you get to tell me a story.
It started a long time ago in a land far, far away.
Well, back in my day.
Yeah, so I'm going to take advantage of you all and let you tell me about making the most of Walt Disney World in the summer, really enjoying summer at Walt Disney World. And I want to start with just kind of giving me some highlights. You know, having you tell me, each of you, tell me what some of your favorite things are about summer at Walt Disney World. And David, I'm going to let you jump off first. I know you spent a week plus last June at Walt Disney World, and by golly, you're planning on doing it to yourself again. So yep. Talk to us about your favorite things about summer at Walt Disney World.
Well, last year was August. This year's June, so it's going to be twice in 1 year. And yeah, of course, why wouldn't I buy an annual pass? We'll talk about that later.
AP, baby.
So I've only ever been to Disney World in the summer. Growing up, both my parents taught. They were completely against basically taking us out of school at any time. So we went all the time in the summer. So I really don't know what it's like going off season. It's crowded, it's hot. You're always looking for air conditioning, you're drinking a lot of water, all that fun stuff, right? These are your favorite things? No, I'm just saying this is what everyone talks about the summer. Don't go, don't go, don't go. Brazilian tour groups, whatever. Someone just clap at me.
I was doing the Brazilian chant. I just don't know the words. I know the claps.
I'll carry the flag.
Thank you, someone. The best thing I think about summer is that you have super crazy extended park hours.
Oh, you took
every me. Day. Well, I'm sorry. I guess we this is going to be more of a round table, right? Aaron just kind of
we're going to be bouncing around.
You want to get up early. You obviously want to avoid the heat. So it's kind of a out of the park early, hit the pool. hang out in the air conditioning, take a nap, go back, stay up late, and do the same thing. The issue is about 3 or 4 days in, that gets really tiring. We're kind of a once-a-year trip family, so it's not 3 days here, 4 days here. It's 7 or 8 days, and we want to make the most of it while we're there. So we take advantage of those extended hours. The one tip on that is, you know, those first 3 days, I don't know if I'm kind of the only person that's like this, is that the first 3 days, you're just gung-ho, ready to rock and roll. Doesn't really matter. Then all of a sudden, you hit like day four, and you're done. Not done, but you take a nap. So as you plan ahead of time going into it, knowing you're going to have those extra hours, even if it doesn't say so right now in February, plan to do the normal rope drop, done, go back, eat lunch, take a nap, have a swim, go back late for the first 3 days. Then towards the end, if you can finagle it so that if you're staying on property, to go extra magic hour evening and then sleep in the next day, make your fast pass reservations for later in the morning, early afternoon, and then so you get a sleep in day, stay up late, and then sleep in the next day, but go to bed early, and then rotate back to the morning.
Right, right. Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, let's bounce around and let some other people get some of their favorites in there. So, you know, Adam, why don't you give us one of your favorite things about summer at Walt Disney World?
I'm going to have to second what David said, because that was like my first thing to say, is the crazy long hours. I mean, the parks typically open at 8 o'clock in the morning, and most of the time, just not extra magic hours, they're open at 8 o'clock in the morning. They run till, you know, 12, 1 o'clock. There's been times when we've been in Magic Kingdom, and they're like, tonight Magic Kingdom will not close until 2 p.m., I mean, till 2 a.m., and we're like, wait a minute, it was supposed to close at midnight. So you get these crazy extra hours because of the heat and other things, but you get something to do, things like, you know, you get Animal Kingdom at night, you get, you know, some other stuff that's not typical, that's a lot of fun to do. And, you know, you'll notice that even the pool hours sometimes will get extended because of it. So you get a lot of extended hours and you get a lot more things going in there. But to kind of piggyback on what David said, you know, you have to just take your time and meander through the parks, because it, you know, we all know what's going to happen. We said we weren't going to talk about this, the heat and the hot and the sticky and all the people, but you have to kind of deal with it in order to enjoy it. So you get up in the mornings, and the mornings, you know, are hitting that 70, knocking on 80 with a breeze, and it's still nice and it's still decent. The humidity hadn't set in yet. And then you got, you know, the evenings that are nice and the wind's blowing and the sun's not baking you, and you get to hang out and it's a lot of fun under the lights and everything's all lit up and pretty. The other thing that we like is they tend to throw in a lot of special events in the summer, even though they don't have them on the book, other than what this will be if they announce it in the next couple of weeks, the third year of the Memorial Day 24-hour party.
Right. Assuming we get one, this would be the third straight 24-hour party. Obviously, in, you know, late May, early June, we get Star Wars weekends, which is, I know, David's target. last year, at least. This year is Star Wars weekend trip. Other than that...
But the other thing that you typically see happen, and we've seen this at least 3 years, because I've been taking the oldest down for her birthday in the middle of July, is that's usually the time that they launch their summer movie, the movie of the summer as far as what's on the Disney Channel. And they usually do some sort of party in and around the park. Like a couple years ago, it was Team Beach movie, and they did all the beach stuff at Typhoon Lagoon every afternoon. They had, you know, lookalikes, and they had stuff. And even a couple of times when we were there, they had actually cast members show up.
Cool.
So you have those kind of things that are popping up, that you just never know what they're going to throw in, especially as you ramp out of Star Wars weekends and you ramp into that week leading up to 4th of July and that week coming out of 4th of July. We all know 4th of July, crazy week, one of the busiest weeks of the year. But those 2 weeks sandwiching it, if you can catch it just right on the tail end or the front end of one of those weeks, you still get some of the stuff that they're ramping up and ramping down for 4th of July, but you don't get all the other negatives that go along with that week.
Sure. Okay. So, Darcy, what are some of your favorite things about summer at Walt Disney World?
Well, not to sound like a broken record, but the hours is got to be the big thing for us as well. But I guess to go a little bit of against what David said, we first 4 days, yeah, you're going like crazy, and then you try and get that break in. But I think because of the fact that we live so far away, when we're there, for the most part, we don't. Well, at least I don't like, and my son doesn't like to take that midweek break. So we're going. So if we go to evening extra magic hours and we're at Magic Kingdom till 2 a.m. and we might be on the bus saying, we're going to have a rest in the morning and we'll sleep in. But sleeping in is probably 8, and we're up and out the door again by 9, heading back for a park. So we tend to make use of those hours the best we can. Let's say there's still the typical summer touring plan where you're going to the parks and you're heading back to the resort in the afternoon for a bit of a nap and a swim. But in a lot of cases, we're heading back out to the parks for the evening by probably anywhere between 4 and 6 p.m. So those hours are the big thing for us, that's for sure.
All right. Okay. So those are kind of big picture things, and to be honest, those are some of the things that I'm really looking forward to. I mean, traveling in the off season, I'm not used to, I think the latest I've ever been, seen Animal Kingdom be open is like 6 o'clock.
And 8 o'clock every night.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to that Expedition Everest in the dark. Because we just haven't had the chance to do that.
It's not dark at 8.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
Yeah, well.
There is that too about summer.
It depends on if it's early summer or really late summer. That's true. Middle summer, it's not dark at 8 o'clock. But yeah. You catch the tail end, you get a little bit of it.
Yeah, August, you're right. Yep.
So, I'm definitely looking forward to the hours. And, one of the things that strikes me as something I'm kind of looking forward to is that, we're going to be there in mid-June. It's going to be hot. There's no question about that. It's going to be humid. And we're going to actually be able to really enjoy the really cool Disney World Resort pools. You don't think about it much, but when we're traveling there, the times we've been in September, okay, the pools are nice, except the time where we're back at the resort to use the pool, it's almost always raining.
Right.
As Canadians, we're in those pools all year.
Well, yeah, but, that's a different story.
Well, and they really step up the entertainment at the pools during the summer.
I'm just looking forward to being able to get into the water without turning blue. Because my kids get in, but if my youngest gets in, I got to get in because he swims okay, but he's not a great swimmer. My daughter's a fish. I don't worry about her. But, right. If John's in the water, I got to get in the water. And, when it's October, yeah, it can get hot at Disney World in October, but
it can get cool at night.
Exactly. It can get plenty cool by the time we get back and he decides he has to get his time in the pool. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it being nice and warm when we get in the pool. I'm looking forward to, getting off Cali River Rapids and, not having a chill come over me.
And drying out by the time you walk out of the exit ramp.
Yeah, that's always fun.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for, being at like the contemporary pool or the poly pool, being in there at night and watching Wishes, you can see it from the big pool out on the private pool out on the back end of contemporary, and from the poly pool you can see it okay, and you can see it somewhat from the Grand Floridian pool. So those are it's kind of cool to be able to do that.
All right. Well, so that actually kind of leads us nicely into the next kind of big summer topic I wanted to talk about here a little bit, and that is that, people choose their resort for lots of different reasons. The different Walt Disney resorts offer a really wide variety of design styles and amenities, and some are better at some things and some are better at others. And, you know, people choose the Epcot area deluxes for food and wine festival because, you know, it's good to be stumbling distance when you're at Walt Disney World for food and wine. Or, you know, people choose to be, you know, if they're... you know, going to be there for a 24-hour day in early May. Maybe they want to really want to be at the Contemporary so that they can, you know, have that walking access back and forth for a 24-hour party. So let's expand on that concept a little bit and talk about, you know, maybe the way that traveling in summer can affect your resort choices and what maybe some of your favorite options for resorts are in the summer and why, you know, they're especially appropriate for summer. So, Darcy, why don't you get us started with this? Does the season come into play when you're deciding where to stay?
It does for us, but not, it's not certainly the deciding factor.
But sure.
I think a lot of the biggest factor would be how long we're going to travel for. The summer visits that I think we've done about five summer visits, both through July and August, and you know, if we're just going for 7 to 10 days, we're probably looking at staying at a value resort, partly because they can be cheaper once you get into certain periods of the summer.
Sure.
And the fact that we're really only looking for a place to stay or for to sleep, and you know, be able to get into the pool. We don't need a lot of space in the room because we're just not planning on spending a lot of the time in the room. But that being said, we've stayed at all levels of the resorts in the summer months. We've mostly been at Pop, but I think we've been at Port Orleans, French Quarter a couple times, and we even had a few nights at the Poly one year. But the big thing, I think, if people are looking at, you know, the summer, picking the resorts, like say you can get into, I don't remember when it exactly starts, but you can hit some of the value season for all the resorts and get a bit cheaper and possibly able to upgrade your stay to a higher level of that because of the cost.
Sure, and cost is definitely consideration for much of the summer because from about mid-June through mid-August, you know, you're at a peak pricing season for the on-property resorts there. You can get a little bit of a value sometimes in the first couple weeks of June there, maybe end of May, and in the first couple weeks of August at what might be kind of the end of the summer season or the edges of the summer season.
Yeah. We've been able to catch, I think, twice when they offered free dining, too, when we traveled later in August, which is bit of a consideration as well. You know, it's a nice little bonus to have, and I think that's kind of what got us on to using the dining plan more often than not, actually.
Sure. All right, so Adam, what's your take on, you know, choosing a resort and maybe doing it in a way that maximizes your ability to enjoy a summer trip?
A lot of it depends on what we're going down for and how long we're going to be there, kind of like what Darcy said. A lot of times we've tended to, if we're going to be there for a long time, a couple years ago we were there for about 2.5 weeks one summer, we did the whole let's go rent a house thing. And that the condition there was we had to have a private pool if we rented a house, because that's just, you know, there's no sense in having to travel up to a pool or whatever when you do that. If we're going to be there for a short weekend stay, like say they did the Frozen Summer Weekends last year, we went down for that. It was pick the resort closest to the event you're going to, or for a 24-hour party, pick the Contemporary or, you know, the Poly or something so you can get in and out as you need to. If we're going to be down there for, you know, about a week, we've picked, you know, like Art of Animation and chose, you know, one of like the Cars Inn where you've got the smaller pool kind of away from everybody.
Sure.
That plays a lot into ours. Even though, you know, the big pools are cool, sometimes you want that where you can just slip in at night and, you know, get in the pool, cool off, kind of relax, and then go to bed or something, rather than, you know, being out there with, you know, the other 3,000 people that want to be in there at that given time.
Okay.
So that kind of, it depends on what we're going down for, but, you know, the pools and length of stay and events really kind of play into what we're doing.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's a nice tip about, you know, taking advantage of placement even within the resort and you know, maybe leveraging those often secondary pools, sometimes known as quiet pools, just because, you know, as the main pool gets more crowded during a busy time, those quiet pools can be, you know, less crowded, less hectic, and you can get that, you know, enjoyable, relaxing pool experience that you want when you're trying to come back to the resort to cool off.
I think there's less, someone maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the places we've been at, there's less organized activities around the quiet pools.
That's definitely
at the main pool. There's virtually none.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's intentional. I mean, that's why they're quiet pools. All right, so how about you, David? What considerations have you, you know, brought to your resort choice when it comes to kind of folding in this idea that you're traveling summer? I guess that's the primary time that you travel, but, you know, how does that inform your resort choice?
Well, it's – a lot of times it comes down to budget, obviously, so we're just going to put that to the side. I'm a big proponent, at least in the summer, of staying at deluxe resorts, mainly because you walk out of your room and you're inside.
Okay.
You're not walking out into the frickin' 95-degree, 750% humidity. or even more so, you're not just opening the door to, you know, go out to get your – get a soda or grab a beer or whatever.
Getting blasted with
exactly,
you know, the oven. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not getting blasted with the oven. And it, you can get around in your resort staying indoors as opposed to going out, then walking in the heat and getting in somewhere. And I am, I'm a sweater, not the,
not
article
the winter
clothing.
Time, the
yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. So, you know, any time that I can limit my in and out, it's appreciated.
I would add, as a photographer, as somebody who really enjoys taking pictures while at Disney World, I've experienced this even, you know, in September when it stayed hot, right? We were still getting 90-degree August heat in early September. And, you know, I found that with my camera staying in a value resort, it would sometimes be as much as an hour before I could take pictures after taking my camera from the resort room that was well air conditioned, mm-hmm. and then walking out that door into the oven, as you put it, and then, you know, finally getting to a park, and it was that blast of heat right as I walked out. And the problem was that it was the internal lenses and mirror of the camera, you know, of the DSLR that were fogging.
Wow.
And it's so heavy that it just took a really long time to clear.
So mine would do that externally. I didn't have too much of an issue internally, but, you know, like we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge one night last time. And we got there, we had just driven down, and we had, like, lucked our way into, like, a partial savanna view. So look out as soon as we get there, and there's just a bunch of animals. I'm like, this is great. I can try out my new zoom lens. And I go out, and I'm like, I can't see anything.
See, I hadn't even thought about the fact that you can kind of ease your way into that weather mm-hmm. From, you know, a deluxe resort that, you know, opens to the a larger building inside as opposed to
I mean, it's just nice if you're going back to the resort for nap time, right? So the kids fall asleep, you and the wife are sitting there like, I'm gonna get your drinks. You don't walk outside into the heat doesn't come blasting and it doesn't wake anyone up, doesn't, you know, don't worry about that. You just walk down. You don't have to I like that aspect of it. Also, theming at the pools are pretty awesome. I really don't understand how Beach and Yacht Club are not more full than they normally are with the pool that's there, especially once they come out with with well, what has been some pretty decent discounts over the last couple summers from yeah, looking at it.
Yeah, some really great discounts that expire right before my trip.
Right. don't worry. They came out from June to August last year, so I think you'll be okay.
I'll cross my fingers.
Yeah, exactly. But on top of that, you know, they had the frozen fireworks last year, and I know we kind of had a discussion. It was like, do you think we're going to be able to see the fireworks from Yacht and Beach Club? And it was kind of like, I don't know, Swan Dolphin might be in the way. Well, it wasn't at all. Oh, and it was great to be down at the pool hanging out and then fireworks. It was – you got illuminations at 9 and then this at 9:30. It was pretty sweet. So, I mean, well, the parts of illumination you can see.
That's true. It is a lower firing show.
Right.
Okay, so we talked some about resorts there. Maybe just real quickly, we'll go around and you know, give us your favorite summer resort. I mean, I think from David we probably heard, you know, Yacht and Beach Club, you love the pool there. That really kind of vaults that one to the top of the list. Darcy, do you have a favorite summer resort?
I don't know if I would say it's a summer resort, but my favorite resort is still Pop Century, simply because of the theming. But I know, well, my wife would have a different answer, I think, and I would agree with her somewhat. We like French Quarter a lot, simply because it's small and comfortable, and you have some different options as far as getting around with transportation. But of the summer trips we've taken, the best stay we ever had was the three nights we got to stay at the Poly, and that was simply because we managed to get upgraded to concierge level. And our room was on the third floor of the Hawaii building overlooking the lagoon, and we could see everything from our balcony, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, that's a pretty fantastic place to be any time of year. Yeah. But especially the summer, I can see that. All right, and Adam, do you have a favorite?
Probably my and it's still my all-time favorite, and people kind of like look at me kind of crazy when I say this, but our all-time favorite resort is still the Contemporary, especially in the summer, just because if you're in the tower, like David said, you come into one room, one building, it's nice and cool. You come off the monorail, it's nice and cool. Everything's in that building. You know, you go to the elevator bank, you can get up and down quick. It's just a little brisk walk outside. You're in the pool, you're right back out. It's very convenient, and the view's pretty stunning, whether you're on either side or not, especially in the summer when all the greens, if you're on the lakeside, everything's green, everything's lush. And if you're on the theme park side, it's the theme park view. You got, you know, wishes at night to see everything. It was kind of cool, especially there in the summer, because you got wishes at 10 o'clock. You watch wishes from your balcony at 10 o'clock, and then you go down and you play till 3 a.m.
Sure.
So.
All right. So, David, I kind of stole Yacht and Beach Club. Is there another one you want to add to the list here real quickly before we move on?
It might actually be Wilderness Lodge, and I don't know if it's just going back to you know, my childhood, but we stayed there quite a bit. It's one of my favorite resorts to begin with. It doesn't have a lot of the added perks, and I'm sure we've gone through all that, but you're inside. The pool's fantastic.
It's renovated now.
It's getting an overhaul.
Well, they're keeping the cool tub, right? They're not getting rid of the cool tub because the cool tub is the best thing ever.
I believe that's still intact. I think it was just a refresh.
Okay, thank Jeebus.
I think they maybe added a splash play area, but other than that, it's pretty much just a refresh.
Well, because it was nice to have the hot tub at night. And then when you came down in the afternoon, jumping in, you never thought it would be awesome, but jumping into a cold hot tub is fantastic when it's 95 degrees out. Just saying.
Interesting.
Yes. But after this last trip, Yacht and Beach Club does have it for me. You can walk to two parks. It's a little long, but to Hollywood Studios, but whatever. It's better than waiting for a bus, in my opinion, or even the boat, frankly. Walk to Epcot, you have everything right there, boardwalk right across, you got a couple fireworks shows. It's a fantastic pool to be in at night, because even without the fireworks shows, the view across to the boardwalk is fantastic. You just forget that, you want to talk about Disney bubble, it's bubble. You just forget about everything.
All right. pretty cool. That sounds good. So we've talked about places to stay to really maximize summer. You know, we can't get out of a show where we're highlighting elements of a vacation without talking about food. So I'm going to steal the obvious one because I think it's, you know, we don't want to waste time with it. But, you know, talk a little bit about some favorite restaurants or maybe even favorite food items for a summer vacation at Walt Disney World. And, you know, the obvious answer is Aloha Isle in the Magic Kingdom. It's hard to beat a Dole Whip float on a hot summer day. But
if you can eat it fast enough.
If you can. Well, now, see, I'm glad you mentioned that because this is one of those reasons why I still have a preference for Sunshine Tree Terrace. If I slow down enough, I can say it without stumbling. And the classic citrus swirl, because the orange in the citrus swirl is much more deeply frozen than the soft serve from Aloha Isle, so it holds up better when it's really hot like that. So hotter the day, the better the citrus swirl is.
Or you can just
go to Pineapple Lanai and sit by the pool and get one and not have to walk around with it.
There you go. Or stand in line for an hour.
Well, that too.
They need to have fast passes for Aloha Isle.
Again, go to Sunshine Tree Terrace and get a citrus swirl instead.
Well, can't you
Speaking of Sunshine Tree Terrace, we never did verify this during DDC3. Were they selling Dole Whip there? Somebody said they did.
I thought I read that somewhere.
I think Terrence said he got one there.
Right.
We need to verify that.
We'll have to check on that. Somebody write in and tell us. Check on it for us.
To the internet. To the internets.
So I'm going to go back around. Darcy, we haven't heard from you yet as we nattered on about Dole Whip and Citrus Swirl. Do you have a favorite summer dining location at Walt Disney World that maybe is especially good in the summer?
Well, for me, it would be almost anywhere in the World Showcase, and that includes the little kiosks that you could get some liquid refreshments at. But probably the one thing that we always manage or make sure we get in the summertime is the the Grey Goose slushie at France. It's not the Dole Whip, I guess, but it's for us the France equivalent at Epcot. And we've never had to stand in those huge lines at Aloha Isle, so I haven't had to experience that. But the one place, and anytime we want to meet somebody, usually at Epcot, that's what we say: let's meet in France and have a Grey Goose slushie. And if you've never had one before, you need to try one, especially on a hot day.
All right, sounds good. So the Grey Goose slushies from Epcot definitely could hit the spot. Adam, you have a favorite dining recommendation for us for Walt Disney World summer?
Something we've started doing, especially since we started doing it a couple years ago at the first 24-hour party, and we kind of kept it going, is doing late-night ADRs at the Plaza. You know, grab a sandwich, grab ice cream. It's still hot at night. You can sit down. It's cool. It's refreshing. Sometimes you can sit down and watch the Main Street Electrical Parade. It's easy to get an ADR at the Plaza, even though it's a small restaurant. And it's just nice to cool down. And they'll let you order ice cream from, you know, the off the menu next door and bring it over. And you could even use your tables and Wonderland card.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's become kind of a summertime hot weather tradition for us now.
And it's a nice way when the Magic Kingdom's open till 3 a.m., you have that 9 o'clock or, 8:30 dinner, and you kind of recharge yourself for that, evening stretch run.
And the Plaza tends to be the only table service restaurant, which there's not many in Magic Kingdom, that tends to stay open till, 10, 11, sometimes even 12 o'clock at night, depending on what's going on.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. A recommendation for the Plaza restaurant in the Magic Kingdom. David, you have a whole strategy for summer dining that you've used, especially, when your kids were really young.
Yeah, it's and we're going to get away from
it this
year.
Well, I understand that. That's why I gave it that introduction, because I knew you were kind of moving away for this trip. But
we the last two times we've gone in the summer, we've done the deluxe dining plan, which sounds like a heck of a lot of food in the summer, and it is, because it's hot and you eat a lot, and you know, a lot of negative things can come from that, but whatever, we'll continue on. We have, though, in the past, used our ADRs basically as our break. Instead of necessarily going back to the hotel and doing all that travel and that, we'll basically do a rope drop breakfast, so actually pre-rope drop breakfast, so we can get in and be ready for rope drop, which they're cutting down on, which kind of makes me mad. But anywho, then lunch we would do a little kind of after that 12 o'clock rush, kind of that 1:30 time, and basically plan to spend an hour and a half or 2 hours in the restaurant. I mean, depending, obviously.
Sure, but the whole idea is you're not in a hurry. Yeah. You're going to, you know, even if you're not going to eat the whole thing, you're going to order the appetizer, you're going to linger over it a bit, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're going to enjoy sitting down in the air conditioning and, you know, resting and recharging a bit.
Well, you get out of the heat, you get in the AC, you recharge the batteries, and then you can go for a little longer. And then we do go back, you know, change, get ready for dinner, have a later dinner, 6:30, 7 o'clock. And then, you know, by that point, at least the last times we've went with the younger kids, they're pretty well bushed. Although, at least when my daughter was 4 and my son this last time, he was 2, although this last trip when my daughter was 7, there were a couple nights when she was just gung-ho. Then there were other nights when she fell asleep at dinner. So it kind of evened itself out.
Sure.
But it's – if you plan it right, and especially like Epcot's a great place to do it, because you can do – especially with FastPass Plus, you can get all your major stuff done early and then just kind of stroll around, take a nice break at like Via Napoli or one of the two Mexican restaurants or Rose and Crown, or heck, if you really want to, Le Cellier, have a steak lunch, which is, you don't really win anything now like you used to with that one credit versus two credits. Like, I win.
It's right,
like,
right.
Yeah. But that's a good place to do it. Hollywood Studios, the Sci-Fi Dine-In, kind of centrally located. But so that's just kind of some of the things we've done there.
Mm-hmm.
As for a specific restaurant that is like, "quote unquote summer" to me, I think Ohana's every season.
This is true.
And you just hope that whenever you go there, you're like, "Yeah, we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom afterwards." But then you hope it rains, so you don't have
the park
to go anywhere.
For you?
Exactly, because you're only going to be moseying. You're not going to be moving at a good speed after, you know, 12 pounds of meat. So.
Yeah. No. Actually, I do want to mention, because when you say Ohana, it reminded me that this year, for the first time, there is a small subset of restaurants that happens to include Ohana that have an additional blackout period this year. It's the first time I've seen this, but, you know, usually you get blackout periods if you're a Tables in Wonderland card holder for, you know, they always have done it, or frequently have done it for 4th of July and Mother's Day and, you know, big days like that. But they've added just this year a new blackout period, and I'm looking it up right now, which is why I'm kind of stalling. Okay, so... there's this list of restaurants: 1900 Park Fair, Chef Mickey's, Ohana at Dinner, Cinderella's Royal Table, Chefs de France, Ockershus, and Le Cellier, that have added an additional blackout week from May 31st through June 20th.
That's like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And it's this weird period, right? Because you would think that if they were trying to do this, you know, to deal with peak crowds, that they'd really be running it from like June 20th through August, right? In the height of summer, but they're not. They're running it from essentially the end of May through that shoulder season of summer where the rates haven't jumped up yet.
Well, if you want my off-the-cuff conspiracy theory of it, they're running it then because it's still not crazy crowded and they won't get a ton of backlash. So if they get the backlash, they can be like, oh, we just did it. It was this season. It wasn't peak season. We can't, because if it is peak season and that's when you travel, $125, it's not worth it anymore to get tables in Wonderland, obviously. I mean, yeah, it's a test. Throwing that out there. Right. Write it down somewhere.
Interesting thought. But I thought I should point that out because, I know that there are a number of us who are Tables in Wonderland card holders, and I'm stuck with a conundrum at the moment because this blackout period runs through June 20th, which happens to be the night of my Ohana reservation.
Are you bookending both? No. Both sides of the cruise or just the front end?
Just the front end, and it's a short trip. I only have a few days. So I don't have enough time that I can take from work at that point.
Right.
So we've got a few days right before the cruise, and the 20th was when I found the reservation open, and I booked it without even thinking about it. So now I got to try and decide whether to try and move it, because I do have one more night before the cruise, so I could do Ohana on the 21st instead of the 20th. If I can get a spot, or keep the 20th and bite the bullet.
Well, I think that brings up another point that in the summer, I know it's really hard to do it in January, but for those the big ticket ADRs, you need to be thinking about it come Christmas. And sometimes that's difficult to do, especially if you're going in June, to shift from we got to get all the stuff done for the holidays to we really need to figure out what ADRs we want to make, especially if it's Ohana, any of the princess dining ones, be our guest, that type of thing. So
right, and again, blessing and curse stuff, right?
Yep.
You can do like Adam suggested and take advantage of the longer hours, and it's not as when I see an 8 o'clock ADR availability pop up at Ohana in September, I'm not so keen on it because it's a weird time. It means you got to leave the Magic Kingdom early.
Right.
There's no way you can get back to it after dinner. And
it's no big deal to eat dinner at 9 o'clock at night if you're going to stay up till 3 a.m.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
and be careful with your breakfast ADRs with those long hours. We had that happen to us. One of our first big trips is that you scheduled a couple of those 8:30, 9 o'clock breakfast ADRs, and you stay out to 3 o'clock the night before. You don't really want to go hang out with Mickey and have them singing "Celebrate, Celebrate" after you've been up all night.
Yeah, that's one of those things where having younger kids, I think there was a bit of a cap for David on how late was.
Oh yeah, yeah. Although late was midnight two nights, I was surprised.
I will tell you that's two of my favorite pictures that we have is my kids about ready to pass out at straight up 3 o'clock in the morning under the clock on Main Street.
That's fantastic. We took one of those with a family we were traveling with, and it was my son who had been asleep in his stroller since probably 10 o'clock, and it's well after midnight at this point. And we're walking out, and he's just passed out in the stroller, and my daughter's bleak and weary, and my buddy's daughter's the same way. Yes, it's priceless. It was the last night we were there too, so it was like it was you didn't want to leave, but at the same token you're like, I am exhausted. So
yeah. All right, well, before we leave the topic, I just want to throw it open. Anybody have any particular summer dining suggestions that they would make?
Go back to Epcot again, and I think David mentioned Rose and Crown, and we like to make it later in the evening simply because you can use their patio to watch illuminations. It's usually a lot less crowded than anywhere else, and that's probably one of our go-to, I guess. Almost any trip we go to, we usually have an ADR at Rose and Crown later in the evening, but the summer, definitely, in city, and trying to get out on the patio to eat as well is nice.
Yeah, sure. I'll point to a couple of quick service places that I think are especially attractive in the summer. One is Columbia Harbor House, because you know, the two big restaurants in the Magic Kingdom, Pecos Bill's and Cosmic Rays, just get crazy in the summer, and Columbia Harbor House gets less so, and it's still a good sized restaurant. And the upstairs seating area, for some reason, the downstairs can be almost packed, and people still don't go upstairs. And I don't understand why, because it's much more comfortable up there. So, you know, I think that's a great escape in the summer, is upstairs at Columbia Harbor House. You know, you can still order downstairs and bring your food up, but it's worth carrying your tray. And then somewhat similarly, you know, Animal Kingdom, I think, is a hard place to you know, get a counter service meal in the middle of summer, because where do you sit and all that stuff. I still say your best bet is Flame Tree, but go ahead and go around back to the seating areas that are well shaded. There are some pretty good spots there where you'll get a nice breeze, and even when it's really hot, with a nice breeze, it's not so bad. That may get harder. You know, the caveat to that is that the construction for Rivers of Light is happening right behind there. So some of that seating is being impacted. But, you know, we were just there a couple of weeks ago looking around, and there's still plenty of that nice shaded area, you know, close to the river.
Yeah, we also like to hit counter service restaurants in the summer, really in the summer, but any time of the year, that have self-serve drink and ice machines.
Oh, yeah.
Restaurantosaurus used to. I hadn't been in there in a little while. And you've got Express. Over, you know, there's a few of those around. And that just, you know, you can get a big cup of ice. You know, if you've got water bottles with you, you can fill up your with ice. Sometimes, you know, you can dump your cup over in there and fill you up some lemonade. Because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to pour soda over in your hydro flask. It'll explode. speaks from experience.
I was going to say, that was kind of drenched in experience there. That was.
Yeah. Had a daughter that, let's dump a, you know, a Coke over into a steel hydro flask with a, you know, plastic top, you know, in the middle of June, and let's bounce around with it in our backpack for, you know, a few minutes. Yeah.
That wasn't a mess.
not at all. Not at all. Just ran into a water park. but those really help out, because, you know, you can, you know, fill up your bottles full of ice real easy, and you don't have to go stand in line. Hey, can I get another cup of ice? Hey, can I get another cup of ice? Hey, can I get another cup of ice? You can kind of help yourself, and you can just kind of sit there, and it's usually cool inside. That's always a helpful thing. And speaking of that, I know most people that listen to us probably already know this, but I'm shocked at the number of people I talk to all the time that don't realize every restaurant will give you that they have ice. They will give you a cup of ice. They will give you a glass of water. Some of the places the water is better than others. But they will give, you know, they don't have to pay for it. It doesn't cost you anything. And they'll even give you a large cup if you say, hey, can I have a large cup? They, you know, most of the time they won't give you any grief. But it's free. Take advantage of it. Stay hydrated. That's one of the biggest things I keep telling people all the time. Yeah, just go get you some water. And they're like, well, I don't want to pay $3 for a glass of water. You're not paying $3 for a glass of water. It's free.
Yeah. Just ask. Be nice. Good things happen when you're nice.
You never know. If you're nice, they might give you a Mickey bar. It's apt.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, on that note with the stay hydrated, I'm a huge fan of taking some sort of like hydration bladder or Camelback or whatever the heck you want to say without going into actual trademarked brands.
I've already done that, so it's all right.
You have. Nice. Done it the last two times because obviously we had a backpack. We were obviously carrying stuff anyways for the kids. So I figured, what the heck, instead of packing 5 or 8 water bottles there, we did that. And also I guess they're called baubles, the filter bottles. because my wife won't drink out of a water hose coming off my shoulder. I don't know. She has something against that, but I feel it's an easy way to carry a ton of water, and you can, like Adam said, get it refilled wherever, whether you have to go and get 8 cups of ice water.
And here's the other hint with that. If you ask for a cup of ice and put it in something and let it melt, that ice has gone through a filter somewhere. It doesn't taste like Florida water when it melts.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good tip. And along similar lines, you know, if you've got plastic water bottles that you've used, mm-hmm. take them back with you to your resort. If you've got them, you know, go ahead and fill them up with ice and just fill them all the way or 2/3 of the way with ice and toss them in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
And just let them melt.
Yeah.
Or put them in the refrigerator and freeze them, but put them on their side.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And all you need is just a little bit of liquid water in there to help it, you know, start to melt just a little bit. And it can be really refreshing. And it lasts longer that way, too.
Just know that if you throw it in your cloth backpack, it will get soppy. That's why you want a bag, wrap it in a towel, you know, swipe a washcloth out of the resort, but take it back.
Yeah.
And, you know, wrap stuff up in those.
I'm a proponent of taking a towel, one of the hand towels with me for whatever, and then just swapping it out whenever you get back. So,
well, we've started buying all of our backpacks with those. Every backpack we buy now to take to the parks has the outside pouches that are mesh that are kind of designed for that.
Yeah.
Right. So that helps too.
All right. So let's talk, if people don't have other specific dining recommendations, let's talk for just a minute about some of your favorite touring tips. Cause you know, we've talked about some of these before, but you know, things that you really think people should know about to truly enjoy a summer vacation in Walt Disney World, maybe uniquely beyond what they might otherwise. And Darcy, I'm going to let you start. You know, anything in particular that you would recommend, a touring tip of some sort that you know people really shouldn't miss with a summer trip?
Shouldn't miss?
Either something they shouldn't miss or maybe something they shouldn't do, you know, because it helps make the trip better. But, you know, any kind of specialized summer touring tips?
Well, I guess it's not really something you shouldn't miss or shouldn't do, but I think one of the things when people talk about touring at Disney World any time of the year, you know, when you start talking about you're going to do a lot of walking, so you want to have good footwear and make sure you have a good pair of sneakers. They're not new, that they're already broken in. But for the summertime especially, I always make sure that I have a pair of good walking sandals with me as well, because just wearing sneakers for that long a time in the heat, well, it's not good for the people in the hotel room for sure.
Ayo.
and you can get some really nice sandals that are very comfortable to walk in, and it for me anyway, it makes some of those days so much easier to deal with than you know, having, you know, hot, sweaty shoes on all the time.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna piggyback on that suggestion and mention that, you know, the Dr. Scholl, right? You see the foot products, the Dr. Scholl's foot products. Well, the actual doctor, Dr. Scholl, his biggest recommendation for people when it came to, you know, taking care of your feet and your shoes was that everybody should change shoes at least once a day.
That makes sense to me.
You know, and I think that's especially true when it's hot outside, the pavement is hot, you're sweating and your feet are sweating, you're going on water attractions.
Go ahead, and I want to throw something in on there when you get done.
You know,
well, I got one too, so keep going.
So bring 2 pair of shoes that you're comfortable wearing in the parks. You know, I've gotten to the point now where I do this almost all the time, but the hotter it is, the more important it is. And, you know, I'll wear my Crocs during the heat of the day and when we're going to be doing water stuff. But, you know, if we're going back in the evening when it's starting to cool off a little bit, it's getting darker, I'll change into another pair of shoes. And it's just my feet are so much happier in the parks as a result of that.
All right, three things. I think it's three things on the whole footwear that you should think of. And this is kind of some old runner tricks that I picked up talking to different runners and stuff. But they carry over because, I mean, you're walking, you know, 8 to 17 miles a day in the parts. I think we've actually hit 17 miles tracking it Wow. through the parts. So you're getting in marathon territory at that point, even though it's spread over, you know, 15 hours. Yeah. Number one, all runners know about Body Glide. Well, I had a runner tell me about this. Put Body Glide on your feet. Put Body Glide on your feet, whether you're wearing sandals or whether you're wearing tennis shoes, before you put your socks on. Put the Body Glide, rub it around your feet between your toes. You will not get a blister.
Between your toes is especially good tip.
Between your toes, on the heel, all around. And since I've been doing that, I started doing it a couple years ago. I used to get blisters on my pinky toe all the time. Don't get it anymore. The other thing is, you know, you do sweat. Your shoes get sweaty. They get moist. Save that newspaper, especially if you're staying at those deluxe resort. You know, they're going to put that USA Today out. Get that USA Today, put it in your room, crinkle that bad boy up, and shove it in your shoes at nights. It will pull the
good point.
It will pull the moisture out of your shoes. Runners use that as the trick. You know, if you run through the mud and the muck and get your shoes wet in the rain, you put that in there. It works just as well to pull the sweat out. And the third thing is, second what Aaron says, people make fun of me because I have a bag of shoes. You can ask Tony. He kind of called me a woman at DDC3 because I had so many shoes with me. But I travel with a bag of shoes. I always have two or three pair of tennis shoes and a pair of flip-flops or sandals, no matter what time of year, because I rotate through so that one pair doesn't get too sweaty or too wet or too damp as I'm rotating them through. And those three things have really kept my feet from hurting and ruining a long trip.
Yep. All good points. David, you sounded like you had some other things you wanted to add.
Well, Body Glide's your friend. Adam took mine. Just in general, Body Glide is your friend. You can leave it. We'll leave it at that. Okay. Two, I am a proponent of the low-cut sock in general when running, but... And I don't know, someone second me on this. I don't know if it's the heat coming off of all of the concrete, but I will start to get small little blisters right along my ankle, and it will get really hot, and I don't understand why. Not like sun stuff or whatever, but like they kind of look like bug bites, but they're not.
Right. No, actually, that is it's heat rash.
Right. Okay.
And it's particularly bad at Epcot for some reason. There's yes. something about the concrete at Epcot. It's more highly reflective than the concrete in the other parks. And it's a real problem there because you do a lot of walking in wide expanses of concrete. And so, there's only so much you can do. The making sure you do a good job with sunscreen on your legs is part mm-hmm. of it.
Right. Body Glide up them ankles.
Body Glide.
But see, it's not friction. It's
right.
It's heat. It's you're cooking.
Well, I'm just wondering if higher socks help, even though it makes the weird tan lines.
They look funny too.
Yeah, I mean, it may help some, just because you keep the reflective heat down a little bit that way. You know, just as insulation.
Right.
The biggest thing you can do is sunscreen because you cut down on the UV reflection. Mm-hmm. And I think people often don't do as good a job, you know, putting sunscreen on their lower legs just because you don't expect to get burned there. You don't think about it.
Right.
Right? You think about your shoulders and your ears and things like that. So that's probably the biggest thing you can do. And, you know, when you go back to take that break in the afternoon, you take a wet washcloth and just kind of wipe down your legs, you know, a cool wet washcloth, and then reapply the sunscreen just to kind of keep things cool.
Right.
Sorry, David, I just had a picture of you wearing knee highs.
That happens.
Yeah, I was going to go back.
As long as there are no knee-high fishnets, you know.
I was going to say, y'all kind of joked about the Body Glide, but I do put it on my ankles and then put sunscreen on top of it.
Right.
And that helps. It does help tremendously with that because it keeps, like, because you get road grit and stuff, mm-hmm. and that rubs, and it contributes to all that. It just keeps all that from sticking to you, and it also helps let the sweat kind of roll off of you down through there.
Gotta love the Body Glide. On a related note, Under Armour heat gear is your friend.
Yes,
when it comes to shirts, it is
any type of compression.
Well, yeah, completely. Compression pants are
compression shorts or compression shirts.
Yep, they make life so much better.
I would have never believed that until I started wearing a compression shirt under my t-shirts running. Oh, makes all the difference in the world.
Yep.
All right, so that we kind of strayed a bit from it when we started getting off on shoes, but any other attraction touring tips or park touring tips that we want to make sure people have about summer?
Rope drop, people. Rope drop. I mean, people don't understand, and I've taken, and I had a couple of guys this last trip when we were down there at DDC3 had never done rope drop at Magic Kingdom. I was like, really? And but we did that, and they were like, wow. And I was like, it doesn't matter what time of year you're here. You come at rope drop Magic Kingdom, you got an hour before it gets busy. You can get up, drag the kids out of bed. Promise you, 5 minutes after they walk through Magic Kingdom, they'll start smiling because there's nobody there, and you can go straight to whatever their favorite ride is, and you can ride it and have fun. And then you can go back at 10 o'clock when everybody gets there, go back to the resort, get in the pool, go to bed for a couple hours, and then go back out. At least you'll escape that 104-degree Florida sun.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Good one.
The other general tip, and I think, again, if you go a lot, you know it, but to take advantage of the indoor attractions. You need to get out of the sun every now and then and get some of that into the air conditioning. Now, that being said, the one attraction we still have never, ever set foot in, which from what I understand is a perfect place to get a little bit of rest, is the Hall of Presidents.
You know, I actually enjoy the show at Hall of Presidents.
Canadian, you. Just because we're not representing. Come on.
We tried to go in it last time, and it was down for some reason, but we've never, ever gone in.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's a good point, too, though. I think that those of us who are used to touring in the off-season, right, when crowds are lower, lines are shorter, we're used to kind of dashing attraction to attraction, and not only are there certain attractions that are indoor attractions that during the less busy season you tend to kind of skip because you're busy moving from, you know, maybe more exciting attractions or more thrilling attractions to another, more headliner attractions. So that's one piece. But then the other thing, too, and this is one that I noticed after going to Disneyland, because Florida has a lot more indoor and covered queues than Disneyland does. And there's a reason for that, and that's summer.
Yep.
Even the covered queues are a huge benefit.
Yeah.
In the summertime.
You know, so they've
added a bunch of fans and stuff like that lately.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they're putting up fans. And so what I want to get at is if you're going to be in the parks, you know, in those times of day when it's getting sunnier, I mean, even if you're getting out of the park at the high sun of the day, you know, that time from about 11 to 1 or 2, or that time, you know, you're coming back maybe a little early, so you're back in the park because you're going to have dinner in the park or something, so you're back in the park by, you know, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Take advantage of the attractions that have indoor queues, you know. Peter Pan now has a much more pleasant indoor queue that's opening. Mm-hmm. You know, Pooh's queue is not all the way indoors, but it's covered. And maybe focus on some of those attractions that have the longer indoor queues during those times when it's the height of the day.
Well, I mean, even like the Seven Dwarfs queue is not all indoors, but man, they got fans every corner.
Yeah. Yep. Great example.
Well, and to piggyback on that, especially because, you know, crowds are bigger this time of year, so you're going to want to use your fast passes smartly, using the 3 you're allotted early And then using those add-on ones, especially in the Magic Kingdom, at the time that you're about to go stand on a ride, like, let's say you want to do Jungle Cruise and it's a 35-minute wait, there's a distinct possibility you're going to be able to walk right over to the Fast Pass machine right there, get a Fast Pass for right now or starting in 2 minutes.
Don't book, but set on that, don't book Fast Passes between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m.
See, I disagree. Book one at 9, 10, and 11. Use your 9 o'clock at 9:57. And then use the second one at 10 o'clock. But don't go directly to your 9 o'clock. You're exactly right. I can agree with that.
I didn't. That didn't register right quick.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, don't book Splash Mountain at 9 o'clock and go directly to Splash Mountain and walk into that. Go somewhere else. Go hit Space Mountain and run the whole way across the park. By the time you get there and hit something else on the way, you know, it – My thing is, even though the hours are longer, the more you can use, and you know, I'll agree with you on like Epcot, because we got stuck at Test Track and almost missed our 9 o'clock fast pass for, I think it was a character meet or something, because we had to book a third, but because we got stuck there, if we would have booked that for 10, 11, and 12, we would have been fine. So yes, I agree. But Magic Kingdom, yeah, exactly. I mean, Magic Kingdom, we added the one day. Once we figured all of this out, the second to last day we were at Magic Kingdom, we did our three fast passes and then booked three more before we left the park at 2 and used them all. And they were all that kind of, oh, hey, we want to ride Winnie the Pooh. You know, Lines is telling me that it's a 45-minute wait. And I looked at I'm standing at the fast pass queue, and it says that there's a fast pass available for 5 minutes from now. So we walked over, had absolutely no wait, and missed all that.
On that, what you said about checking, find you an app. There are several out there. Since they're not sponsors of the podcast, I won't mention their names, but there's at least three different ones that you can find, and use those to check your wait times, because all three of the ones I'm thinking of right now have added there are this many fast passes available at this time to their apps in the last month. Those really come in handy, because you can see that there's some fast pass availability or there's not fast pass availability, and that can help you balance that out. And what you said, Magic Kingdom is the place to do this in.
Right.
The other parts, it gets hit or miss, but in the other parts, you also have the advantage of the Animal Kingdom ride Everest till you puke, the last hour of the park, especially any day that it's open till 8 p.m. You have the same idea when you get into some of the other parks that stay open really late. Magic Kingdom, you know, at 3 a.m., you know, from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m., you can ride anything you want to. Some of those really come in handy to know that, hey, if I'm willing to stay up late, I'm willing to stay here till the park closes, there's some things I can squeeze in. Maximize your fast pass and use it wisely.
Well, and that's like, I mean, you can ride Star Tours until you puke.
Exactly.
From about 8 o'clock on, maybe 8:30, depending.
A lot of times you can do that with Tower of Terror, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster, Toy Story Mania, your headline, your big backed up rides, it's not going to happen. But some of these others, you can really get in there and maximize it and have a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, and those are all really good suggestions, and I think that you can really kind of make the fast pass situation, you know, work for you, as David suggested, especially in the Magic Kingdom with Fast Pass Plus. And one quick tip I'll add to this is that if you are staying at a resort that has a concierge desk, you can, if you use your you know, three fast passes early and then you leave the park, you can actually go to your resort concierge and they can help you make the additional Fast Pass Plus reservation. So you don't have to wait until you get to the park. That's useful if you're going to hop, right? If you're going to be at the Magic Kingdom all morning and you've gone through and used, you know, your three fast passes using David's suggestion and gotten them quick, and maybe even gotten a couple more in before you left the park for your afternoon break, that's fine. You've already used five fast passes. When you get back to your resort and you know you're going to hit, you know, Hollywood Studios in the evening because you're going to go to Fantasmic that night, you can have your resort concierge help you make a Fastpass Plus reservation for a Hollywood Studios attraction, you know, for later in the evening. In other words, you don't have to wait the 3 or 4 hours you're going to relax at the resort to make that next Fastpass Plus reservation.
That's cool. I didn't know that they would do that. I knew they would do just about anything else for you as far as getting merchandise or booking reservations. If you're paying that money for a deluxe resort, especially if you're paying the money for deluxe concierge level, utilize those people. Those folks will greatly take care of you. They will find things that people can't find.
Yeah, that's true. They're good at that. All right. Any last suggestions? Darcy, do you have any last bits to add here before we wrap up?
It's just through the fast pass discussion, talked about, you know, some rides you could use at the end of the day, but we've found that rides like Everest, for example, that if you're willing to use a single rider line, you can get on and off those things as many times as you want. We've never had a problem any time of the year at Everest just with using the single rider line. Now, Rock and Roller Coaster, I probably stood in line for about 45-50 minutes trying to use single rider line, but Everest, and you can just jump on and off pretty much with a single rider line.
Or wait till the last hour.
All right. Well, you know, this is all really great, useful information. Thank you for the tips. I'm going to be using lots of them this summer. For anybody listening, we'd love to hear your suggestions too. You can send them to us by emailing us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at DizDads Podcast on Twitter and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Adam Dale.
Good evening, y'all. Have a great one.
Darcy McKillop.
Good night, everyone.
And David Jort.
Good night, foolish mortals.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.